Our opening hymn this morning is in the Red Church Hymnal, hymn number 8, The Lord is King, Lift Up Your Voice. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You may take your seats if you wish. A couple of notices for you this morning. This Tuesday morning, there will be a coffee gathering at Hillmount for the Craig of Crafters. There is also pickleball at 2 p.m. on Tuesday as well. Wednesday is a one sense, a celebration of life for Myrtle Dodsworth, but it's also a chance for us to welcome her into heaven. The funeral is at midday, 12 o'clock, with a tea to follow. For those who know Myrtle and want to come, you are most welcome to that. Thursday, there is going to be a leaflet drop for our Community Fun Day. And as much as I would say I really like walking around, I've got 500 of these, so I can't do that alone. And John was going to help me, but I would love it if maybe a few of you who don't have much on a Thursday, at 2:30 in the afternoon, we're going to meet in the prayer room, say a prayer, and then we're going to go out into our community, and we're going to drop these through the letter slot. And on the one side, it has the invitation to our Community Fun Day taking place on the 6th of September. But on the other side, it's an invitation to come and be a part of the community with all of the things that we have on here in St. Finian's that are starting in the next few weeks. So if that's you and you want to come help me, come speak to me so that I can know and be ready for you on the Thursday for that. I was going to let you know as well that on Saturday the 30th, we are having a work party here at the church from 9 to 11, where I imagine it will be doing our best to get our grounds as nice and pretty as they can for that fun day coming here in a few weeks' time. I also want to let you know in advance that this particular week is our yearly Diocesan Bishops Bible Week that's taking place nightly at 7:30 in Hollywood Parish, and that is with Colin Smith, a Bible teacher coming over from the States on the art of contentment. And so that is the 26th through the 29th, and you are most welcome to come to that as well. Lastly, next Sunday, our services, Holy Communion at 9, a service of wholeness and healing at 11, and then evening prayer at 7. Our service this morning can be found on page 101, and Gillian is going to lead us.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.
And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service is a call for God's help in a time of trouble. Together we read verses 1 to 6 of Psalm 71. It can be found on page 670 of the prayer book. In you, O Lord.
In you, O Lord, do I seek refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be for me a stronghold to which I may ever resort. Send out to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evildoer and the oppressor. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence even from my youth. Upon you have I leaned from my birth, when you drew me from my mother's womb. My praise shall always be with you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Would you please be seated for our first reading?
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Verses 4 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Here ends the reading.
Our next hymn expresses our deep longing for Christ. We stand to sing hymn number 673, O Christ, our hope, our heart's desire. Would you please be seated?
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Here ends the reading.
Take Turning to page 112, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The collect for today, the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such good things as shall please you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. As we prepare to receive God's word, we stand to sing hymn number 101, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, do you ever feel like the weight of the world is just a bit too heavy? Like when you wake up in the morning, you, depending on your age group, you get a newspaper, you turn on the telly, or you jump on your phone and you check the news or you check the happenings in the world, and just each day brings another thing where you're like, oh. Is that you? You relate to that? I certainly can relate to that. And it makes me wonder, you know, when we think of war and injustice, political instability, the news, all of the drama, what is truth and who gets to speak it and who doesn't? Sometimes I wonder, what's the point? Anybody feel tired? I feel tired. Where's justice? Where's mercy? Where is grace? Where is healing? Where's the church in the middle of all of these things? Well, I've got some news for you this morning. Our readings give us a little bit of hope. And beyond hope, they give us a little bit of clarity. And alongside the clarity, we're actually given a charge, a bit of a mission, as it were, to think about justice, mercy, grace, and healing when the world seems incredibly heavy. So the first question we've got to ask is, well, I don't know about you, Ryan, but I've looked and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 13. Now, in the reading that we have this morning, we have this Jesus teaching in the synagogues, and a woman who's been crippled for 18 years is healed. And some people get grumpy about it, right? How dare you heal somebody on the Sabbath? Now, it may seem like we're going to talk about this particular story in its own little context, but we have to understand what comes just before and just after this set reading today. Because if you pay attention to Luke 13, it's in the middle of a couple of parables. And the parable just before this action is the parable where Jesus is talking about a fig tree. And he's actually really pointedly speaking to the religious leaders and the authorities and the Jews and the way in which they were bearing no fruit. And they needed to repent because they hadn't borne any fruit of justice, of mercy, of kindness. They were so religious and so stuck on the rules of their tradition that they didn't do anything. And they needed to repent of that. And then directly following this little action that we're going to look at is another parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. Right? And we can gather from the information that the mustard seed is faith. It's this tiny little thing and it's buried and it nurtures and grows and becomes this massive thing. And what's further about trees, right, is you may not ever enjoy the shade of the tree, but somebody else will. And the yeast, right? Those of you who bake understand that you have to get an even spread of that yeast in the whole mount of the dough for it to rise and bake properly. A little bit of kingdom in the world goes a long way. And it's in between these two things that Jesus actually does this miracle. And so we look at this miracle. We look at the context of Jewish law and the Sabbath, right? To a synagogue leader, the idea that they were the keepers of the law and social order, if you go against that, you're going against their very authority, right? It's law, it's the names, it's the father Abraham and Noah and David and Moses. So if you do anything against the law or against the names of those who brought the faith, well, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. And so here comes Jesus, this man who's teaching, and all of a sudden he's caught with a conundrum. And notice that the woman, She doesn't ask him. She doesn't show her faith. She just happens to be present. And for 18 years, she's held on to this condition that has been bound her, that she is stuck in a position of being unwell, distorted, twisted down. She can't see up. She's bent over. And the burden of the world is heavy on her shoulders, on her back, on her body, on her spirit. And Jesus sees this woman as he's teaching, and he says to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and she straightened up and praised God. Friends, that's beautiful. And it's beautiful because there's nothing that the woman does. There's no faith element. There's no asking. She's just there. And Jesus sees the need, and he heals her. And more than the words, he touches her. Now, this makes some people very grumpy. And they say, there's 6 days for work, right? And they're grumpy, and Jesus says, there's 6 days work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Right, because the Sabbath is a holy day. You can't be healed on the Sabbath. You shouldn't be healing on the Sabbath. We've got to keep order. We've got to keep this thing going straight. How dare you do work on that day? Jesus' response, you hypocrites. Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey and lead it out and give it water. Just the natural thing to do. It's the kind of thing to do. You got an animal and it's yours and it needs to be fed. It needs some water. It needs to be loosed. So Jesus is doing and showing them something about the nature of this particular type of work that isn't really work. It's freedom. And he's putting it in parallel to the way that they're rules and traditions become like a burden on the people. So he calls them hypocrites. This woman, a daughter of Abraham, who has been kept bound by Satan for 18 years, should she not be loosed on the Sabbath day from what has bound her? So where is the hope? Jesus does things outside of the order. That means that we can look at the world and the scope of it and know that there is hope in it because Jesus can turn it upside down. So the question too then is, where's the clarity in this? Because Jesus has done this thing and you still might be a little bit confused about what's actually just occurred in the midst of the status quo. Well, friends, the clarity is in thought and word and deed. As Anglicans, we say this thing every week when we confess, right? The things that we've done, things we've left undone, things we've said, things we've left unsaid in thought and word and in deed. It's a really actually nice little slogan to think about. Am I doing things in thought and word and deed that are like Jesus? The kingdom is active. I hate to tell you this, but being religious isn't enough. Just being here, not enough. Because that's not what he's after. That's not what God is doing in the midst of the world. He's turning it on its head, the status quo. So then we think about this, where Jesus is, that's where the kingdom is. And when Jesus does these sorts of things, like healing people and releasing the burdens of them, he's giving us the authority to go and do the same things as his people. And so, friends, that's what the charge is. If there's hope in the world that Jesus has done something, and there's clarity in our position and who we should be and how we should be kingdom people, being like Jesus, then the charge is, in the midst of, sandwiched between repentance for missing the mark and prophetic voice attached to healing the world. If you hop on over and you look at that first reading in Jeremiah, what's actually occurring there? The Lord came to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to speak. And then Jeremiah says, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord says, don't worry. I am with you. And whatever I say, I command you, and I will give you the words. I'm with you, and I will rescue you. And then the Lord touches his mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. And in verse 10, it's this statement. I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. It's interesting that however many years later, Jesus encounters these religious leaders. He's doing the very thing that God had orchestrated the Israelites to do. It hasn't changed, friends. Even 2,000 years since, to uproot and tear down corrupt nations and kingdoms, injustice, brokenness, to destroy and overthrow that which binds people, and to build and to plant that faith like a mustard seed, moving into that yeast and that dough to bake bread for the world, to taste and see that the Lord is good. There's no excuses. This is who we are. This is what's required. This is what it means to bear witness to the kingdom of God. This is what faith is for. It's not merely a, here I am, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to go and march down the street and proclaim it. That's a good thing to do. But you follow it up with loosing the chains of people who are bound. You might have thoughts, and you may have some words, but we have to put our deeds in connection with. And that's what Jesus shows us how to do. Do not be like the fig tree that bears no fruit. Plant your faith and get stuck in. Love justice, love mercy. Speak with grace. Every small act of the kingdom is an embodiment of being Jesus in this world. So friends, the hope is, be like Jesus. The clarity is it's to do what Jesus does. And the charge is, as we be like Jesus and do what Jesus does, we do it for the sake of the world, in our thought, in our word, in our deed. For this world is like the woman. She didn't ask, but she received. Let us pray. We know our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and who has made earth. Father God, help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, in our thoughts, in our words, and our deeds. That as we do this, we could love our neighbor as ourselves, that we would stand as kingdom bearers of your truth, as ambassadors to break and loose the chains and burdens that are in our world. We thank you for your perfect law of love. Help us to live according to your commandments, as they are the proper way to find peace, joy, contentment, and true life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for the church. We pray for its witness, that as it does stand and is vocal and lets the world know that you are God, but that it wouldn't just be proclaimers, that they would be doers, that our fellowship would increase, that our mission would be proactive, that the harvest would be plentiful. Help our church, our broken relationships, to move from disagreements, and that we would truly flourish by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that we would have a common vision to profess your name and to bear witness to the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, the weight of the world is heavy upon us. Each day the news brings another thing that we cannot fathom, another lie, another war, another politician who might be corrupt. We can't take all of it in. We are tired. But in our weariness, Lord, we know that you welcome us, all who are weary and burdened, and you give us rest. So, Lord, we ask for peace and for rest, for places like Ukraine and Russia, for Gaza, Iran, Israel, the United States, Nigeria, Sudan, and the places that the media fails to mention. Lord, you are the God of justice and mercy. And we ask that you would remember us when we pray for our leaders, that they will serve the interests of the people that have placed them there rather than themselves. We pray for orphans, for widows, for refugees, the asylum seekers. We pray for the MP and the MLA. We pray for the media who reports these stories to us, that they would share the truth and not a slanted version of it. Lord, help us to do more with our hearts and hands than just our minds and lips. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for this community here at St. Finian's. We are members one of another. None of us lives for ourselves. And as we think about the events coming in the next few weeks, our Community Fund Day, we ask that you would inspire us to be a church that thinks about what it means to loose the chains and the burden that folks in our community might have, that we would be a welcoming place, that people would come here and would engage in your love for them through us. Help us to be bold. Help us to take risks. Help us to be willing to make our own contribution, to learn to be good neighbors, that by the love of Jesus, we may love one another for the sake of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. God, whose mercy and compassion never fails, we ask that you would look kindly upon the suffering of the world, for the needs of those who are anxious, who are sick, who are injured, who are lonely. We pray for the bereaved. We pray for the helpless, the aged, and the weak. And we lift our prayers to you in a moment of silence of the people that we know who need your presence now. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And we respond to all we have heard by singing the hymn of the offering, number 589, Lord, speak to me that I may speak.
and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. Now, the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. We sing together our closing hymn from the Red Church Hymnal 594. O Lord of creation, to you be all praise. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.